Good morning, church. If you have a Bible, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to keep moving forward in our series. You might not know me, but I've been in and out. Thank you for your kindness, and please forgive me if I have forgotten your name. I'm working hard at trying to learn your names, but there's a lot of y'all, and you have pretty normal names, so I can't really use that as an excuse. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for the word of God that is holy, that is here for us to engage us, to illuminate to us things by the power of the Holy Spirit that will, things that we need to hear, things that we need to see, things that we need to be encouraged in, things that we need to be corrected in, things we need to apply. Thank you that you speak to us through your holy word. And Father, this morning, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to truth. And Father, let me be a good messenger, a faithful messenger of your truth this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you like covert spy, enemy hidden in plain sight, masquerading as a good guy, but really the bad guy kind of stories? Anybody like those? Yeah, we see these in popular movies, TV series. We see them in you know, all kinds of arenas and stories and plays and things of that nature. But those things happen in real life as well, don't they? There's enemies out there masquerading as good guys that are really bad guys. And I was thinking of a few of them, and I was going through my great repertoire of movies that I get to see on airplanes as I fly. Batman. Okay, yeah, I'm a little dated. You guys remember Batman, Scarecrow, right? Scarecrow was kind of this nice psychiatric doctor that was there to help everybody, and yet he was masterminding this plan to bring Gotham City into chaos and destruction. Another one that I was thinking of was the Avengers series, and Thor's brother Loki, right? Actually, blue brother, kind of interesting, opens up the back door for the enemy to slip in. And then Wonder Woman, interesting superhero movie. Wonder Woman, we have this crazy gas-loving guy, Ludendorff. You guys remember him? Everybody goes, oh, that's got to be Ares, right? That's the evil god of war who wants to destroy everybody. But in actuality, it wasn't him. It was Sir Patrick, the British guy with the cool accent that threw us all off, right? They always throw me off. And he's got this cool accent, but he acts like an ally, acts like a friend, when in reality he's puppeting and kind of masterminding this destruction of the world. The text we're going to read today talks about covert enemy, deceptive church leaders that aren't really from the Lord or from the enemy. And it clearly talks about it in this passage. And so the main key point for us this morning that I want us to walk away with, if there's one chapter, there's one main key point that I want you to walk away with today, it's that there are loving, genuine church leaders and there are false, deceptive, we're going to call them supers, and you'll see why in a minute. There are those who want your sincere, pure devotion to the Lord, and there are those who will lead us astray. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you can, stand with me. We'll read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 29. I wish you would bear with me a little foolishness. Do bear with me, for I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from sincere, pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaim, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Indeed, I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles. Even if I am unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way we have made this plain to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boast of mine will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you. God knows I do. What am I doing? I will continue to do in order to undermine the claims of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond with their deeds. I repeat, let no one think me foolish, but even if you do, accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What am I saying with this boastful confidence? I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since my boasting according to the flesh, I too will boast. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes from you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys. In danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak that I am not also weak? Who is made to fall that I am not indignant? Praise the Lord. Let's have a seat. What an interesting passage. Really, chapter 10, 11, and 12 are kind of a continuous theme here. And so when we jump into chapter 11, it helps us to understand this continual flow here. 2 Corinthians 11, we see the same strategy of the evil one exposed by Paul's vulnerable love for the church, as here he really reluctantly compares himself with what he calls super apostles. I might just call them supers because that's what I've been calling them as I've been preparing. But praise the Lord, there are genuine, loving church leaders and servants of God here to serve us. Amen? That is a huge, huge gift that we have. We have servants who love the Lord and love us. But we might have also sadly experienced or seen the opposite of this. We might have seen false, deceptive, self-gaining supers, false teachers, prophets, apostles, pastors, missionaries who act like they're representing the Lord, but who are covertly leading people astray. How do we know the difference? How do we know what is a true servant of God placed by God in our lives to bless us, and who is a false, deceptive wolf in sheep's clothes? Remember, Jesus said this in Matthew 7, 15 and 16, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothes, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. So 2 Corinthians' main loud point for you and I to hear is there is a comparison out there between true, God-loving, God-fearing, God-honoring servants of the church and false, deceptive pawns of the enemy Satan. And we need to be looking at these things. We're in a spiritual war, and the evil one wants to kill, steal, and destroy you and I and the church. That's his mission. The enemy and his pawns are masterminds of deception, and they often wage war in covert espionage kind of ways. They don't put on the mask of demons. They rather come in sweet-talking, well-dressed, trendy maybe even. Satan works on us this way, but even our own selfish desires are easily drawn away by the tickling of our ears. Oh, you can have this. Oh, you can be like this and love Jesus. You can be a God-honoring, Jesus-loving person and have all the things of the world. Listen, we don't want the things of the world. We want the treasures of heaven, amen? We want the good stuff, not this junk. This is just a glimpse of what is to come. So how do we know the difference? Well, today, in an age where we have more resources, where we have good and bad teachers, true and false teachers, loving and selfish teachers, all parading in the name of Christian leaders, we need to be on guard. And we need to be discerning. And we need to hold up the word of God next to these leaders and what they're teaching and go, are they teaching this? Is this really what God wants for me, what that person's saying? And when we find those good leaders, we need to lean into them and love them and partner with them and push forward for the gospels and the glory of God with them. So let's dig in. We got a lot to cover. 2 Corinthians 11:1-2. He says, I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me, for I feel a divine jealousy for you. Since I've betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. He starts off here, and Paul's no stranger to this church. Paul's written many letters to this church. This is the second one that actually made it in the Bible. But his love for them is palatable. It's visible. They've experienced it. He's not a superhero. He is human. He has feelings, and his feelings are coming out here. He's vulnerable here with them, and he asked them to do something. Not something that they would have been strangers to hearing, because he wrote this in the other letter. He said, bear with me. And they would have gone, wait a second, I remember that. He said, love bears all things. He's saying, hey, love me in return here. Give me a minute. Listen to me rant a little bit. Listen to my foolishness. I'm kind of embarrassed about it, but I don't know how else to get this message to you. I'm going to compare between myself and these false super apostles that are leading you astray and killing you and leading the flock to death. So bear with me in my divine jealousy for you. Wow, what a picture. Divine jealousy. Jealousy. Jealousy we often don't think of as a good thing, but I think it's a beautiful thing here. I think this missionary pastor's heart loves these people so deeply, so passionately, that he's like God in a way. He's jealous for them. Exodus 34:14 says, worship no other gods, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. What a beautiful, vulnerable characteristic that this church leader has for the church. These feelings and emotions from Paul come from a heart that loves and wants the best for them and for us. They also come from a heart that is invested deeply in the kingdom of God and in this church. They might have betrothed you to one husband that led you to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. They might have presented you as a pure virgin to Christ. That's what a true church leader wants to do. They want to help us shed off the dirty, sinful clothes and put on the righteousness of Christ that comes from Him. They want us to flee the ways of the world and pursue the glory of God. You know, we would think we would recognize these differences, but sometimes we're easily deceived. Verse 3, Paul says, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. If you underline, if you mark, if you circle, if you do any of that stuff in your Bible, sincere, pure devotion to Christ is a great thing to underline or mark or circle. This is what Paul wants. This is the difference. Either you're going to be led astray or you're going to be led to sincere, pure devotion to Christ. Satan and his pawns deceive us in cunning ways, lead us astray. But Paul again tells us the battle being waged for our hearts starts in our thoughts. Thoughts. You're driving down the road, what are you thinking about? You get up in the morning, what are you thinking about? My wife asked me last night, is your mind ever empty? I'm like, does it look empty right now? I was kind of wondering where she was going. I didn't think I had that blank stare, but maybe I did. Sometimes my mind is empty, but very seldom are our minds empty, right? Most of the time there's something going on, even for kind of clueless guys like me. There's something happening in there, right? Our minds are a war field. And listen, if you want a really good explanation of it, go back to last week's sermon. If you were here, go back and listen to it. The notes are online. I was not here last week because I was in Ohio. Greetings from the church in Ohio. But there was a great biblical picture of where the battle takes place for our thoughts. They're online. Go check them out. And it's a common deceptive trick of the enemy, though, to use a lot of truth to manipulate us and deceive us with a little bit of lie. 90-95% of the time, they're going to use 90-95% of truth to hook us in, to draw us in. They're going to come to your door and say, hey, I'm a Christian too. So, well, great, let's talk about the gospel. Well, I can only call God by this one name. Well, I can call him by many names because, praise the Lord, he's got many names, and one of them is Jesus. He's God. Three common deceptions that Paul points out here in verse 4. Some proclaim another Jesus than the one we proclaim. There is no other Jesus. Amen? Man! Jesus. What does that name do for us? Man, it just washes peace over me. And confidence in the Lord, and kindness, and goodness. How could there be a better one than Jesus? But if we don't know the Jesus that's described here, we can be quickly deceived that he's got some other characteristics. That he can, here's one. Well, Jesus is just your Savior and your friend. Well, praise the Lord. John 15, Jesus calls us friends. I'm blown away by that passage. But he's also our Lord and our King. That's another Jesus if you just want part of him. That's not the Bible Jesus. That's not the Jesus of Scripture. We've got to be careful to stay to the pure truth of who God is in the flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. A second deception that we see often in church today is you could receive a different spirit than the one we received. A better spirit. Or sometimes the twisters of truth will say you can get this extra spiritual blessing from God. Look, I got so many spiritual blessings from the Lord, I don't know what to do with them. I don't need extra ones. I don't need false ones. But I think there's a danger here for us because in modern conservative Baptist churches, we've shied away from teaching on the Holy Spirit because we were afraid we might lead people to deception. You teach the true, genuine Spirit so people aren't deceived by the false spirits that are influencing our war in the spiritual war that we are fighting. Jesus told us that true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. So the Spirit of God is always going to be united with the truth of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus and the Holy Spirit will never contradict each other. The Word of God is the truth. The Holy Spirit will never contradict add to, take away from the truth of God's word. He illuminates it for us. He helps us understand it. He explains it to us. And he speaks to God on our behalf. He's beautiful. I just pulled out a few of his truths. Romans 8, 9, the Spirit of God indwells, resides in everyone who trusts in Jesus as Savior and Lord. In John 16, 8, he convicts sinners of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In John 3, 8, the Holy Spirit brings spiritually dead people to new life in Christ Jesus through regeneration. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, he conforms believers into the image of Christ by cultivating fruits of the Spirit in us. He gives believers spiritual gifts so that we can build the church up and engage the world in 1 Corinthians. He inspired the words of the Bible. And now for you and I, he illuminates our minds so that we can understand it and believe the biblical truth in 2 Peter. And it is the Holy Spirit who guides believers into truth. And the same Spirit enables us to obey the truth in John 16, 13. I can go on and on about the beautiful works of the Spirit, but if anyone is teaching a different spirit than this Spirit defined by this book, then they are biblically wrong and they are deceived themselves. The third common deception that Paul calls out is accepting a different gospel. There's a lot of things out there in the name of Christianity, a lot of gospels peddled out there, but the gospel is really clear. There is one true, almighty, all-powerful, creating God who spoke everything to existence. He is above all things. That God created humans, people, in his image in such an incredible, beautiful, special way. There is not a human in existence that is not created in the image of God. We are not like animals. We are unique. We are fearfully, wonderfully crafted in our mother's womb by Almighty God to bear his image. But you and I and all people in this world have a huge problem. We are special, but we are sinners. We fall short of the glory of God. We have sinned against the holy God, and we need a solution, and we cannot solve that problem ourselves. We have a humanly unsolvable problem. So God solves our problem. Jesus. Jesus comes to you and I, humbly takes on flesh and blood and aches and pains and hurts, lives perfectly, goes to the cross, perfectly paying for our sins, dies gruesomely, sheds his blood for the remission of sins, is buried, defeats death and hell, is resurrected, amen, and sits at the right hand of God the Father. He goes before us to prepare a place for us that where one day you and I will be with him. This is the gospel. There can't be any better news than this. But it doesn't just happen in our lives, right? We've got to hear this good news, and we've got to react to this good news. We have a faith opportunity in front of us, whether we believe this or not. Those who believe it are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already. John 3:18. And this faith in Christ Jesus gives us new life. The old has passed away. Behold, all is becoming new in us. He washes us. He purifies us. We stand before the holy, pure God in the righteousness of the blood of Jesus. We live a new life. Old Joe Tanner died. Praise God. And I have a new life. I have a new beginning. I have a fresh start. Every morning I wake up and his mercies are new. Every sin I commit, I can confess to the Lord, he's already paid for it. Wow. If anybody preaches a different gospel than this, why would you even want it? Why would you even think it's good? And here's how it gets twisted. Well, you know, God is good and all, but you still got to do this and this and this and this and this. And listen, for a lot of you, you put that list up there. You're the false, deceptive leader and teacher in your own mind. Some of us are really guilt-driven. Well, man, I got to pay penance for that. No. Praise God, no. He's paid in full for us. Some of the false gospels say, well, you know, God is so far away, you can't get to him. God is powerful and almighty, but he is Abba Father. Heavenly Father, who think of that picture. Not mean, nasty Father. Right? I talk to God as Father all the time because I want to respect and revere him. I want to always put him in his right, pure, holy place. But I really like the term dad, but I just can't bring, and some people do, and I'm fine with that, whatever. I'm not condemning everybody here. But it really, that picture there is that intimate, right relationship of dad with us. They tell you God's too far away from you to get to, they are not sharing the true gospel of Jesus. All right, I got to speed up. The gospel is good, though. Now, in verse 5, Paul begins to compare between true servants and those who refers to as super apostles. Indeed, I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles. Even if I am unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way, we have made this plain to you in all things. And so Paul's living in an oral culture. Right? If you can speak really well, you can control masses of people in this culture. And Paul says, hey, I'm not a good speaker. Praise the Lord, he was a good writer. Right? And he's writing it to them. But in our culture, speaking is important, but this drives our culture. Media drives our culture. You like my case? That's a story. Sound bites, memes, messengers, tweets, songs, news flashes. And the enemy of God is wisely using them to deceive us and to lead us away or to pacify us into complacency. I've seen it all over the world. I'm not going to blame it on America. You go into a restaurant, you see people sitting at a table, and there's four people sitting at a table, and they're all doing this. And I doubt they're reading the Bible. My Bible's on here. Is yours? It's a good excuse. The war for your thoughts to be led astray from sincere, pure devotion to Christ is real. Now, 2 Corinthians 11, 7 through 10, Paul compares the difference between church leaders who humbly give themselves to serve and those concerned with making a buck off of us and taking from Christians in some sort of way. And I'll just back that up with 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 18. He says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. And then Paul quotes Jesus in Matthew 10, he says, the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborers deserve his wages. Look, there's always somebody competing for your money, right? There just is, especially this time of the year. Supporting and taking care of God's servants is just what the church and God's people have always been about. In the Old Testament, they took care of the prophets. Even the sacrificial system fed the priest, right? In the New Testament, Jesus talks about taking care of the workers, right? In the New Testament, not New Testament, I'm not creating a New Testament, please forgive me. In the part of the New Testament about the church, the continuation of the gospel through the church takes care of Paul and Peter's and John's and Philip's, and they send Paul and Barnabas's and John Mark's out, and they take care of the ministry and the work. The Macedonian church, the poorest of poor churches, supports the work of Paul. Church family, we need to be wise, generous givers and good supporters of the work. John 10:10 says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You want to know who to support? Who's laying down their life for the sheep? And who's getting fat and rich off of the sheep? Steal, kill, and destroy. 11:11, great litmus test. And why? Because I do not love you, God knows I do. Different people show love in different ways. But love's pretty easy to spot. Fake love is pretty easy to spot as well. Please hear me. Church leaders who love you because they love the Lord. You know, it can be easier to be angry at church leaders, pastors, elders, but lean in on this. If they love God and they love you, they zealously want sincere, pure devotion to Christ. If they really love you, they're going to keep pushing you back to sincere, pure devotion to Christ. Their personality might do it a little different. Their love language might do it a little different. But that is their drive as they push themselves to the same thing. 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15, and what am I doing? I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond with their deeds. Boasting and claiming to be a genuine servant of God doesn't make somebody a servant of God. Smooth talking, false, deceptive, covert workers disguising themselves as God's instruments happens all the time. Paul says, don't be surprised. Paul says, watch out, look to their end. We've been around long enough to see some of those ends play out, to see those lies exposed. It's hard to do, but true servants of God need to even expose wolves. I wouldn't call myself a basketball coach, but I help coach basketball. And some of our players are over here. You guys better be paying attention, Sam, Isaac, Joshua, push-ups. When I don't know what to do as a coach, we do push-ups. That's the Marine coming out in me. But as a good coach, if I see my player bringing the ball up the court, and maybe one of those enemy players, that other team is behind him, and he's slipping up behind him to snake that ball away from him, I'm going to yell, "Wolf!" Wolf means there's someone coming behind me to steal from me. Wolf! A good team player says, "Wolf! Wolf!" A good coach says, "Wolf! Wolf!" A good church leader says, "Wolf! Wolf!" They call them out. 2 Corinthians 11, 16 through 21, I repeat, let no one think me foolish. Second time he's asked this. But even if you do, accept me as a fool so that I too may boast a little. Can you hear his passion here? He loves you. He cares for you. What I am saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool. Why? You know what? The Lord has no need to explain his love to us. He showed us in Jesus Christ. And what can be known about God is plain to the world. It says that in Romans 1:19. But Paul here wants his reader to really get a clear picture, have a comparison, at risk of even sounding a bit foolish in writing. You know, if I say it this morning, you might go back and hear it, but if we put it in writing, it's going to be around for a long time. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast, for you gladly bear with fools being wise yourselves. Slight bit of sarcasm there. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you or devours you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs. or strikes you in the face. The raw truth, motives, and actions of false prophets are exposed here. They hurt and take from you. To my shame, I must say we were too weak for that. More sarcasm. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. I mean, Paul could have easily demanded from this church. Paul could have said, look, man up. Support me. I led you to the Lord. I need your help. And he has asked for their help. But instead, he's saying, hey, I don't want anything from you. I want your pure, sincere devotion to Christ. And if they have pure, sincere devotion to Christ, they're going to support the work all over the world. Verse 22, we see a few similarities between Paul and false prophets. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. That's it, folks. You can look at this entire list. You can look at this entire chart. Here's the similarities. Are they Israelites? Are they Hebrews? Yep. Yep. Are they offspring of Abraham? Yep. They are. Let me modernize it. Are they calling themselves Christians? They sure are. Do they have some kind of maybe background or Bible school or certificate that says they can do it? Probably so. Yep. That's them. And do they have some kind of endorsement? Has someone said, this is a good guy? Probably. But look inwardly. Look at their fruit. Now, this final section is challenging in our culture, where many times I think ease is what we're seeking. I have a unique position. I go to the other side of the world. I'm there for a year or two or three, and then I come back here. And I go over there for a year or two or three, and then I come back here, and there's some really good things I see in the church. And sometimes there's some really hard things I see in the church. And I see sometimes the church really is focused on ease. And the church doesn't often see servants like Paul. And I think sometimes even when we don't see servants like Paul and this list that he's getting ready to describe, maybe we even think that's old. That's archaic. That's not necessary anymore. That's kind of barbaric old days Christianity. Folks, that's real Christianity today all over our world. What we're going to read in Paul right here, and what Paul, I think, doesn't want to tell us but has to humbly expose in comparison of his trials and hardships is reality. But I also want you to know that it's reality that church leaders that aren't suffering in this level of persecution do suffer for our souls all the time. 23, are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman. I think God left this in here for us, as we get to see Paul's true emotion here. A couple of Paul's letters to the Corinthians didn't make it. This one did, and there's no whiteout back then, okay? There's no backspace, 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 backspace. Delete, delete, delete. Ooh, I shouldn't have said that. And I'm thinking he's here going, are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. Ooh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm talking like a madman. With far greater layers and far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes lest one. This is a Jewish punishment. It was the most severe beating allowed by the scriptures. 3 times I was beaten with rods. This was one of the most severe Gentile punishments for disturbing the peace. Either one of them could have killed you. They were supposed to beat you within one lick of your life. Once I was stoned. That was meant to kill them. In Lystra. Preach the gospel. We're going to kill you, sucker. Throw them off a cliff at the end. Joker, by God's grace, gets up and crawls out. And keeps preaching the gospel. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys. 8 times dangers here. And danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. But what I love about that list is you go, wait a second, there was nowhere Paul was not in danger. In the church, false brothers, well, he's not safe there. In the world, Gentiles, robbers, on the road, in home, In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Do we live life to have greater ease and self-preservation, or do we live life to glorify God? It's hard. The world is so enticing to us. But Paul is sharing this with the church not for self-glorification, but to point us to those masquerading as super false apostles, super church leaders. Listen, if they don't love you enough to suffer for you, if they don't love you enough to suffer with you, they don't love you. They don't love you. He needs the church to see the suffering difference. Now, I could have left this out, but I can't. We got to personalize this a little bit. We got to look at this list of Paul and go, okay, well, Paul, yeah, he was an apostle, great, but he's not Jesus, he's a man. And we go, how should I be living more like that than the way I'm living today? Do I need to love God and love others more than I really am? Would you go to jail or prison for Jesus? Would you be beaten within one lick of your life for Jesus and so that other people could hear the gospel? Would you keep preaching the gospel when that dude picks up not a little bitty rock, but a big rock and throws it at you? Are we ready to stand in the supermarket and tell the little lady next to us that Jesus loves her? How about our neighbors? Do we even know their names to tell them that God knows you by name and wants you to have his free gift of salvation? Would we leave our security, our country? Listen, beloved, even our safe church, to take the gospel across the border to the next city, to the next neighborhood, to the next person who is doomed to hell. One of the most convicting verses in Scripture to me comes out of Romans chapter 10, 14. How will they call upon the name of the Lord and be saved unless they hear? And how will they hear unless we preach? And how will we preach unless we are sent? Loved, we are sent. It's not my job. It's not Pastor Derek's job or your other pastor's job. It's the church that makes the manifold wisdom of God known. Not only to the world, but to the principalities and forces of evil and darkness. Go look it up in Ephesians 3:10. It's beautiful. Comparison journey to an end. Loving, genuine church leaders are false, deceptive supers. Who are we following? Who lovingly leads and sacrifices us for us to have sincere, pure devotion to the Lord? And who is pulling us away from the loving Jesus and the sound truth? I love these last two verses, 28 and 29. And apart from all these, I'm gonna Joe translate this a little bit for you. And apart from all these other things, there's the daily pressure on me for my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? That I am not also feeling their weakness with them. Who is led astray and made to fall? That I am not indignant and furious at those who led them astray. And Jesus said it this way in Luke 17, temptation to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Love, church. What few people, I think, really understand is that your church leaders, and I'm really glad I'm sharing this message because they're not having to share this with you. Your church leaders bear a burden for you that you don't understand or see. Paul says here, daily pressure on me. My anxiety for all of the churches. See, Satan's trying to distract us right now. You need to hear this. They love you in ways you don't see. They do things for you that you will never know about. And they're bearing wounds and scars and hardships and pains that they are never going to tell you about. Because they love God and they love you. I pastored for 11 years and I lived off of Tums. I moved to the other side of the world, Central Asia, culture shock galore, and my stress level went down. These servants love you. Bear with them. Love them in return. Derek said, hey, Joe, do you want to preach in 2 Corinthians 11 or do you want to preach anything you want to preach? Of course I wanted to preach anything I wanted to preach today. I promise you, because when you look at 2 Corinthians 11 and you're the one-off guy, okay, it's a weird one. But the Lord was really clear, you needed to hear this message from me, not from them. They love you. They're blessing you. They're bearing burdens and anxiety for you. Bear them with them. I'm going to give you three takeaways. There might be more in here, but I'm going to give you three main ones. One is this. Lean into church leaders who love God and love you with a clear desire for your pure and sincere devotion to God. Recognize your church leaders lovingly endure more than you see or know. You know what I mean by lean into them? Trust them. I'm trusting this piece of metal. I'm leaning into it. Go with them. Partner with them. Bless them. Storm the gates of hell with them. Go to the other side of the world with them. Be sent out by them. Lean into them as they care for your souls. Second one, be aware of false supers masquerading as church leaders who don't pursue God's agenda for you. We recognize them when their actions and motives don't line up with Scripture's clear plan for our sincere love for God and love for our neighbors. Be aware. They're everywhere. They're everywhere, calling themselves Christians and using you, hurting you, even striking you in the face. And you're like, yeah, thanks. Third and finally, check yourself. Do you have a sincere, pure devotion to love and serve God and people? What are you devoted to right now? What are you chasing after? What are you focused on? What is your life, if I really looked at your life, what does your life say you're chasing after? What does your mouth say? What do your priorities say? And where is God asking you to glorify him by serving others in a selfless and sacrificial way? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word this morning. Thank you for the church. Thank you for our church leaders and shepherds who love us and care for us and minister to us and just do so many things for us we don't see and know. Father, thank you that they help us love and honor you. Thank you that they help us partner with each other. Thank you that they help us in so many beautiful ways. Bless them right now, wherever they are in the world. Oh, and Father, we ask that you would please help us to see the difference between false, deceptive wolves in sheep's clothes masquerading as servants and the good shepherds you've given us. Expose them, Lord. And Father, we know and thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you so much that in love for us, your Son came to this world. You showed your love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us and that we can have new, forgiven life in that. Father, for those of us who have that new life, remind us of how good it is today. Remind us of the good gospel that we've heard today. Remind us of how sweet it is to be in your presence. Remind us of how good it is to obey you and to be doing your will in this world. And Father, for those here today that don't know you, bring them into your kingdom. Draw them with your loving kindness to lead them to repentance, Lord. Father, help them see the one true God. And Father, help all of us walk out of here with a more sincere and pure devotion to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, maybe you need to commit to apologizing to a church leader. Maybe today you need to recommit your life to sincere and pure devotion to the Lord. Maybe today you need to surrender your life to the loving Lord Jesus Christ. But if you need to talk to someone today, there'll be counselors here this morning as we sing, Let's Respond to the Lord. Stand with us.